There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
25 Whistles.
Yes, sir. Eddie, blow it.
I got you, Bones.
Thank you. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with the code BOBBYSPORTS. Type that in if you can. Because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. If you could have one ticket to any event, you can't pick the Cowboys being in something.
Oh.
So it has to be.
I was already thinking the Super Bowl.
No, it can be a Super Bowl ticket.
Okay.
But you can't say to see the Cowboys because you don't know.
Correct.
Right. What sporting event would you go to?
I've never been to the Super Bowl. So that would be the one. Dude, how expensive are those?
I've never had to pay for it. I don't know.
But like you've heard, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could probably get in closer to the game for a lot cheaper if you'd like go there.
I'm going to say like 10 grand. I think 10 grand.
I think you can get in day of for like $1,000 each.
Day of from a scalper?
$1,000?
Up high. Yeah. Yeah. You can get good seats. 3 weeks out, depending on the team too. But yet, I mean, I promise you can get it for $1,000.
I've always thought that it's like one of those tickets where like, oh dude, you'll never be able to afford that.
Well, I mean, that's a crazy amount of money. I've gone twice and it's cool and fine to go. It's just nothing special.
But if your team's in it, oh, don't you want to be there?
You do, but you don't feel like your team's in it. I mean, you do because you're watching, but it's not like you're with other rabid fans. It's so corporate. And it's people everywhere.
They say the average price is $8,000.
It's average, though. I'm saying you can get in for $1,000 day of. That, the lowest ticket, I bet you can get in $1,000.
Says the lowest is $6,000.
I don't think so. For what Super Bowl, though? Is that just the last one?
The last Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
L.A., maybe. Because it wasn't in L.A.?
Yeah, it was L.A.
No, Tampa. Maybe L.A.
L.A. Because I remember all the movie stars came out.
I think you can get it for $1,000. I stand by it. Okay. Crappy seats. Is this an experiment we need to do? Make a bet on it?
Yes.
So yeah, it's fun. You should, if you can, you can go.
What about yours? What's your ticket?
Probably college football championship.
Ooh.
That'll be fun.
That'd be really cool. Any team?
Well, you can't pick a team.
I know. It doesn't matter who it is.
But
probably gonna be
that's
Alabama.
That's the whole point of this game. Like, especially like next year through a 12-team playoff.
Oh yeah.
When everybody's all injured and it's only like four people left.
So that's not the same vibe. It's not about money at a college championship.
NFL's way more corporate. Yeah, college is way more fan-based mayhem.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, so we're here. Hope everybody has a great holiday. We're going to look back at some of our favorite 25 Whistles interviews from 2023. Take some time, and if you've missed any of this, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not super timely where if you missed it, it's not entertaining. But part one of this includes basketball and career talk with Doug Gottlieb from Fox Sports Radio, who is the all-time assist leader at Oklahoma State and is like top five in all of NCAA.
Yeah, good interview.
Which is pretty crazy, yeah. We'll do football and coaching with Chris Kleiman at Kansas State, and then we'll get into some gambling with ESPN's expert Stanford Steve. The Stanford Steve interview was cool and fun,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb, great basketball player. We'll start with him at Oklahoma State. He's top 10, here it is, all-time in NCAA career assists with 947. He talked about all that, playing days, which college town he'd like to live in and a bunch more. Follow Doug on Twitter at Gottlieb Show and listen to him on Fox Sports Radio. All right, here he is, Doug Gottlieb. Doug, what's up, man?
All good, man.
Hey, I was looking at the Wikipedia for all-time assist leaders, and I'd known that you were one of the top 10 NCAA assist leaders of all time. I would just be obsessed with making sure that nobody was coming up on me. Do you look and see who's approaching so you don't get knocked off the top of the list?
It's like the guys that are good enough usually go pro. You know, these COVID year guys, you're worried about guys getting fifth and sixth years coming up beating you.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, Noel, from Kansas State.
Marquise Noel?
Marquise Noel, yeah. He was getting really close to my single season in the Big 12. And had they won in the Elite Eight, I was cooked. And he was, like, really close. I think he finished, like, three short of me. So I hadn't been in that position before, but I was like, yeah, dude. Like, anybody who says they don't give a shit about their records is full of shit. You know, like, you want something for posterity. I used to be seventh, and the guy who's sixth is Greg Anthony. I was literally three short of him. He played a whole bunch more games than I did. Because they won a national championship and they went to the national semifinals, right? But like I'm still bitter because my junior year when I led the country in assists, I was in the doghouse for eight games. So I actually, in overall average, that was the fewest minutes per game I played in my career. And so obviously had I not been in the doghouse or my coach just like benched me for a game, or not played me for a game. Like if you bench me just like one game, hey, you don't play. It wouldn't have hurt my average, but it wouldn't hurt my average, but my overall total would have been lower. But I went through a stretch where I was playing like 8 or 10 minutes. Anyway, so then you're like, if he hadn't done that to me, I would have been like third or fourth all time. You know? So there's a yes, I definitely pay attention to it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I saw Gary Payton is below. That's pretty cool. You're above Gary Payton.
Yeah, but he did all kinds of other
It doesn't matter. I just see a list and Gary Payton.
Yeah, that's true.
Who cares? Big fan. Been listening to you forever, obviously. We've established kind of a personal relationship as well. So I really appreciate you coming on here. A couple things I wanted to talk with you about, first of all, is being an assist guy, did you ever feel like teams knew you wouldn't shoot? Like they're like,
yes.
They would just back off. And do you feel like you had to then have games where you would prove you could still put up 15 to 20?
Yeah, but I couldn't. There was like three games. So, I mean, it's really interesting because like forever in the Big 12, I'll be known as a guy that could make every pass, but, you know, couldn't throw it in the ocean. And my last Big 12 tournament game, we played Iowa State. That Iowa State team was probably the second best team in the country that year. They lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight, who ultimately won the national championship. And Iowa State, Larry Eustace was the coach, and he tells everybody to this day, and there's other guys that are head coaches who are assistants on that staff, but I'll tell you that their whole game plan was not just to let me shoot, but also when I drive, they'd fake and then make me finish because I got to this point to where like all I did was pass. You know, it was like the yips at first, and then it just kind of took over my game, and it was literally playing without a jump shot. It was really hard. And there were a couple of games where it went away, where the like anxiety of it went away. And like I had 19 against Southern Miss. I had my last home game against Oklahoma. I had two big threes. We played at Kansas. I had a couple big threes. But generally, I just mentally, emotionally couldn't get myself to relax shooting. And everybody in the league knew it. So it was really it's actually like you ask people like what I was able to accomplish, especially like my senior year, is kind of gratifying because literally played without a jump shot. And that's hard. It's like living without one of your senses. So all the rest of your senses become heightened, but that one sense is really, really hard to play without.
Do you feel like you lost your shot as you got older and specialized more, meaning in high school, could you fill it up better?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have been recruited and been rated as highly as I was if I couldn't shoot. I mean, I was never Steph Curry. But I patterned my game after Bobby Hurley. And, you know, he got to be a better and better shooter in college. I was the all-time leading scorer in my high school. I had 44 in a game. I could shoot and score well enough. But I'm ultimately a bit of, I think, a control freak. And so part of what happened early in my career and then at Notre Dame and then at Oklahoma State was, you know, I wanted to control who got the shots and kind of be the hero by creating opportunities for my teammates. And I also, I got big and strong, and I think I lost some of my touch. And then when I lost some of my touch and I was trying to control things, you know, then your shooting percentages go down and down and down. And then you just kind of get in this mentality of, okay, if I just do what I can do best, and if I don't miss a shot, I'll never come out of the game. I hated coming out of games. And it worked against me because I figured if I don't miss, well, he can't take me out. So if I don't shoot, I can't miss. So I just wouldn't shoot. And then ultimately people would dare me to shoot. And then it became really difficult. I don't know if I'm making sense to
you. No,
you
are.
It made sense to me.
Would they ever talk trash and be like, hey, you can't shoot. Shoot it. Shoot it.
Every game.
Really?
Every game. Every game. And it's, you know, you'd sit there and literally the hardest thing to do, I think, is you're wide open every time you get it. It's like Ben Simmons, how they guard him. is like, you're open. You can shoot the ball anytime you want. And it's technically an open shot. You know? And again, this is also, remember, this is in like 99, 2000. So my coach at the time were like, take it in and get a better shot. Like, it's actually a better shot to shoot a three, right? Where you can make, if you make, you know, 3 out of 10, it's equally as good as making, you know, 4 out of 10 or 5 out of 10 twos. And so I, you know, if I could go back and do it, I would have sat down with my coach and be like, look, man, you got to let me shoot when I'm open. Don't take me out. Take me out when I turn down open shots. And if I make a couple, everything else will open up. But I didn't, you know, I was intimidated and I was in my own head and, you know, it became really, really hard. And I take a personal sort of pride from it. You know, the way I tried to work it in my mind was if I sucked athletically or if I sucked at others, they wouldn't play off me. Right. There'd be no fear of me, period. But the reality is it's hard for me even to go back and watch or show my kid the way I played, because it's kind of embarrassing when guys playing five feet off you and you don't shoot.
Could you go back and take tape and appeal and be like, no, this was an assist. You guys did not count it. I need to move up the list. Here's 2 assists from this game, because I'd be doing that crap.
It's a great question. And the answer is one time. So we played against UNLV. And a guy who's become a really good friend of mine, his name's Mark Dickel. Mark is Australian. And Mark was their point guard. And so we played them my junior year and we stomped them. And that was when I came out of the dog. I was in the doghouse. I was going to leave the team. And I had a great game in Vegas. And as chance would happen, we played them again my senior year, also in Vegas. And so we get done, we mollywomp them. And I remember I'd always grabbed the stat sheet halftime and after the game, and I grabbed the stat sheet and I had like 4 assists. And I was like, what the, you know, this is some bull. And our assistant coach was my coach's son. His name's Sean Sutton, who's also a point guard. And he's like, oh, that's some, you know, like, so we actually went back and I know in my mind about how many I had. Like, I was like, I think I had 13 or 14. And we went back and like, literally by definition of assist, it was like 12. And I was trying to, you know, I was trying to lead the country again. I was trying to get the all-time mark, which is Bobby Hurley's mark, which is probably out of reach. So we sent it back. We sent it to the NCAA and they gave me 9 assists. So that was the only time we ever did that. And really, like, here's how crazy and what a small world Oklahoma State is. And you know this from your time with your TV show and going to all these small college towns, right? Is the guy who kept stats at Oklahoma State is named Lee Manzer. Lee's son, Brendan, played there. Lee was my marketing professor. Matter of fact, my last course that I had to take, I took correspondence my senior year. I had 3 hours left and it took me 4 years to complete it. But like, he was a hard ass, not just like literally correspondence courses. He could have just gave me a C or whatever. I had to do all the work. but it was the same way with statting. Like, my stats weren't great at home all the time. They weren't, It wasn't like they pumped up my stats. I had my marketing professor who was screwing me with my stats. So I, not only would you get screwed on the road, but at home, like Lee Manzer was by the book, an assist, I'm not giving you extras. And so if you go back and watch tape, there'd be passes where I'd turn and I'd point to my marketing professor who's keeping the stats for our team. That's a real story.
Just to remind him, hey, Lee, don't miss that.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
That's an assist.
That's
and he'd,
funny.
Go, he'd be like, no, that's not an assist. Like, that's an assist.
Doug Gottlieb show
leads directly to a basket. That's the definition of it.
The podcast is really good. It's All Ball with Doug Gottlieb, and you can listen to it on iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or the Doug Gottlieb show on Fox Sports Radio, 3 to 5 Eastern. So a couple things I wanted to talk
can
about.
Can I ask you a question?
You know, okay.
Come on, let me just ask you one question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so I've said this, like, Boise is the best city that you'll never visit.
Yes.
Right, to a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay, and there's Charleston's like that. There's a lot of places like that. And you've traveled this entire country. Heck, I know you traveled the world. So here's a legit question. All these college towns you've been to, where's the place you're like, kind of wish I would have gone here? I mean, this if I could go back and pick a place, this would be the place.
It's funny you bring up Boise because, Eddie, what do I say about Boise?
Boise, man, it's wonderful.
What do I say it's better than?
Oh, it's another country. What'd you say?
No, Hawaii.
Hawaii, that's right. That's right.
It's another country. That's America.
It's another state.
I said, if I got to pick.
Feels like another country.
When I spent time there when I was doing my Nat Geo show, I had no idea how versatile that city is. It doesn't matter what you want to do. There's some cosmopolitan part of it. There's the outdoors part of it. There's the traditional sports part. Boise was awesome. A little too cold for me, but I often am like, Boise's better than Hawaii to me. Because I've been to Hawaii a bunch and I don't even like the beach. I know you're from California. I grew up in Arkansas. We didn't have a beach, so I don't like the beach. I don't even know what you do. You sit there in the sand. Okay. What do I do now?
Yeah, I mean, lake in many ways can be better than beach. I'm not going to lie to you there.
Yeah.
You can catch because it's warmer. yeah, there's a lot of things. Plus, like, super fear of dying for me in, like, waves. So I'm the guy who grew up in Orange County, and I suck at surfing. My son laughs at me and says I'm the worst, but I'm kind of with you. I mean, Hawaii does have incredible hikes, you know, and different topography than we have.
Time zones are too screwed off. Time zones are too screwed off in Hawaii. Can't work there.
Yeah, the time zone is really hard.
So Boise's good. I think Madison, Wisconsin's awesome if it just wasn't so cold. I think
it's so freaking cold there.
Really cold. Did a show at the Orpheum there once, and it was winter, and we had winter in Arkansas. We had seasons. However, we didn't have lakes that froze over and Jeeps would drive on them. We pulled over the car and Eddie wanted to go walk out on the lake because it was just frozen.
I'm from South Texas, man. I've never seen anything like that.
That to me was bizarre. It was awesome. So Madison is a really cool town. I like passion. I like almost rabid passion. Athens, Georgia, and I'm not saying it because Georgia is good. I like the climate and I like the music scene. I think Athens, Georgia, Fayetteville obviously is my favorite, but Athens, Georgia is probably number one with Boise. You?
And I've been to so many places, urban ones. The most underrated urban one, I think, is the University of Washington, because Seattle feels like a different country. You land, you're like, damn, this is really far from the rest of the country, but it's close enough to the city. You have the water right there. It's a cool looking campus. That's, I think, my most underrated urban one. In terms of like college town or place that I could totally dig. Like, I love Austin. I don't think I could go to school in Austin. I just feel like, I don't know, there's so much other stuff going on. I loved at Oklahoma State how it was just all about school. New Mexico's kind of underrated, to be totally honest with you. I like Utah State in Logan, Utah. That's actually a super, the Cache Valley. Again, I know you don't like cold, actually very hot, warm in the summer and kind of smoggy. It's like, I think it's the smoggiest place in the country.
Love pollution.
Because you get,
warm me up. Let's go. Global warming, baby.
It's really, but if I was going to pick one that I was like, man, if I could do it all over again, I think it would probably be Tuscaloosa.
No way. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Well, I took a visit to Tuscaloosa when this was before they were really good in football. I transferred from Notre Dame and I was sitting out of junior college and I went there And they had, I'm Jewish, and they had the Jewish fraternity, the Sammies, threw me a party just for me. I had my own female escort to the party. It was so cool. Like, just the, I don't know how they do it in the South is really cool. The only issue I have with schools in the South is that they care about basketball in the big games, but they kind of don't give a crap most of the year. Whereas when I was at Oklahoma State, like, we kind of ran the school, and that was very, very cool.
Maybe Tuscaloosa for both of us is just associated with an emotion. I just associate it with getting the crap kicked out of me every time we go down and play football. Like, I have to go stand within amongst the statues, hear them play.
Wait.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna switch. Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss is awesome. Oxford's awesome.
Just because, like, you go, it's like going back in time when you go to their little town square.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's a little rich. It's a little rich for me. Not like cake, like money. And, like, I didn't have money for most of my life, and it was, like, all rich people and, like, fraternities and sororities. But, yeah, Oxford's cool.
It is. It definitely is. I will point out, Bobby, I don't know if you know this, but you are rich now.
Now, so. Yes, but I still feel like I'm not for the most part.
He's not talking about cake either.
No, right, yes.
Yeah, no, look, I get it. Like, I remember when I went to Notre Dame my freshman year, and, you know, people can Google. It's not hard to find, but, like, I screwed up, but it's stupid stuff. But I love some of the spirit of it, but I did feel like, obviously, I had never been to a private school. I wasn't Catholic, but more than anything, there was a lot of affluence there. And I was just a kid from Orange, California. And I'm not saying, like, I walked uphill to school barefoot, butt naked in the snow, you know, it's uphill both ways. But I didn't come from a ton, and I just felt like, I remember they had J. Crew catalogs that got delivered to our entire dorm, and dudes would get the J. Crew catalog, and they just go through, and this is what I want, and yeah. They would tell their mom whatever, and they ordered. And it's like, I didn't even know what J. Crew was. Like, literally had one pair of jeans, and had my mom got me this horrendous L.L. Bean parka, green L.L. Bean parka, and that was like my winter coat. And I anytime was below 50. You talked about Madison and weather. What people don't know about being by the lake, especially on the other side of Lake Michigan, is it's not just lake effect snow. You get lake effect overcast weather. So I remember not seeing the sun for the entire month of November. Like, literally the sun never came out.
Yeah.
Late October, November, and into December. And then it got cold and snowy, and it really kind of affected you mentally. So that's the part of that side of it.
That's why I didn't play football in the Big Ten.
Oh, that's it.
Because it was just too cold for me. I just didn't feel like, for me, that was, you know, the ingredients totally weren't there. So, speaking of football, a couple things here, because I listened to you, and you have no fear, which I admire, in just giving your opinion. And if you're wrong, going, hey, you know, way back then, I was kind of wrong. But so I like that, because sometimes I struggle with saying I'm wrong. I just forget I ever said it. I'm like, nope, never heard of it. So let's talk for a second about C.J. Stroud. Now, what did you think of C.J. Stroud when he was drafted by the Texans? And then what do you think of him now? And what's the difference in your mind on what he can do, his ceiling?
Okay, so we all carry, like, biases, right, against guys. And the problem is, he went to Ohio State, and how many Ohio State quarterbacks have we seen that they're throwing to guys who are wide open? You know, so, like, how much skill does it take when you have – it's like the old – back when USC was rolling and Carson Palmer was great, Matt Leinart wasn't a great pro quarterback. Why? Because, like, in the pros, you got to throw guys open. You don't have better players than everybody else. So I think part of the CJ Stroud thing was, like, the two quarterbacks before him had both put up ridiculous numbers and weren't good pros. And you're watching a guy, he didn't move around a ton, and he was just kind of okay, again, based upon the billing last year. Meanwhile, Bryce Young, I saw play in high school. I live close to modern day. I have friends that are there. And he's always been seen as this, like, quarterback savant, can read defenses, can move around and throw. And he's tiny. He's by NFL standards, he's an Oompa Loompa. You know, he's not part of the lollipop gang. And I thought, okay, well, outside of him being small, and there's been small guys, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Drew Brees, maybe he can do it because he has all these other things. Whereas C.J. Stroud is bigger, stronger, but like, does he move that well? Is he really that good? Is it just that Ohio State has way better players than everybody else? Ohio State has this like litany. It's like Alabama. They have all these great wide receivers, and they're just better than 9 of the 10 opponents they play. So I carried that against him, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't see him being star. What's his ceiling? I mean, I don't know if he can be a superstar, but you can't do anything in the NFL unless you have a dude back there, a guy you can count on, a guy that can play, can deliver the mail. He doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have to be Pat Mahomes, but he can't be one of these guys that stinks. He can't be Zach Wilson. He can't be a guy that – and then the real magic to building a team in the NFL is you got to do it during years 2, 3, and 4 of their rookie contract because they don't make much money, and then you can build a whole roster around them. Houston has that. So that's where I do two things, though, Bobby. I want to make sure I point this out. I will say that I'm wrong, but I also don't hate saying when I was right. Yes, you know,
I'm really good at that second part.
Everybody else like, I don't want to be that guy. No, I like being that guy. I really like being that guy that says, yeah, no, I like to say I told you so.
What and about
that's the way, that's what works for me.
The situation in Michigan right now, is this going to get worse before it gets better, or will we just look back at this and laugh in 3 years?
I think we'll look back and laugh in 3 years. It's stupid. You know, I mean, look, was there hubris? Is that why they sent some ex-Marine out on the road to go and and like he put everything under his own name? Like they weren't even trying to hide it. But like this idea of advanced scouting, I mean, I don't know if you know this story. Mike Leach, the late Mike Leach, who of course was at Mississippi State, Washington State, and Texas Tech. And there's a story, you can Google it and see it online. He was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, Bob Stoops' first year, 1999-2000, and they beat Texas. And the famous story was they left a scouting report mistakenly on the field at the Cotton Bowl before the game, and then they knew Texas thought things were coming, and they did the opposite. Right? This stuff's been happening. Like I played football growing up, and I remember like we used to line up with our backs to the other team in case they were spying on us. High school football teams think somebody's spying on you. So everybody assumes somebody's looking and trying to find your signals. You know, basketball teams, they use copy or they go to a tournament and they find your hand signals and your calls. They wouldn't have 3 different signs and guys, you know, doing the Larry Moe and Curly if they didn't think somebody was seeing. I think part of it is people don't really like Harbaugh. Part of it is there is a ton of arrogance there with Michigan. And part of it is like we've crept in this era now where everybody has a cell phone. So there's no real secrets, right? And we knew this was going on, and there's counterintelligence going on as well. It looks bad. They're holding Harbaugh out. And I'm only interested in what happens against Ohio State. If that somehow changes the tenor of the game, I don't think he makes play calls. I don't think he does a ton game day outside of that one decision. Do we go for it? Do we not go for it? Do we punt here? Do we go for it? You know, like the last and final word you're missing, and the adjustments at halftime for a guy who, you know, played at every level and played well, and then has coached at every level and coached well. So I think those things you are missing. But yeah, we're going to look back and go, really? You know, it's like, you know this, the SEC was buying kids long before NIL. Like, that's the best advantage you can have. Have better players than the other team. Whereas the Big Ten, like, this is cheating. The SEC has to be laughing at the Big Ten.
The Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Eastern. And All Ball with Doug Gottlieb. Great podcast on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Doug, massive fan. Thank you for the time. I listen basically every day.
I want in studio. I want to be one of the minions in studio.
If you come, you don't live here, but you can come whenever you want. So whenever you're here, just come in.
All right.
That's
done
all.
Done deal. I'm there a fan as well. I wouldn't have reached out if I didn't love you. So thanks, Bobby.
Well, Doug, appreciate the time, buddy. See you later. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. You know, the whole deal is with a parlay. It's you need to make, well, let's just say 3. It can be 9. Eddie likes to do the 16-game parlays for $1.
12, don't be crazy.
You did hit one. Like a 6-gamer, didn't you? And you looked down, you didn't even know you hit it or something like
that? Yes, a 6-gamer. But that was a same-game parlay, which is like, you know, the over-unders on points and stuff like that, or yards.
You bet like $1 and you woke up and you had 60 in your account?
$60 in my account because I fell asleep.
That's awesome. Maybe that's the key. You just fall asleep after you bet and you don't stay in stress with it all. But a parlay, you make multiple bets, and if they all win, you win. If one of them loses, you lose, but you get better odds if you do that.
Right.
And it's super fun. So go to DraftKings Sportsbook, go to the app. New users use the code BobbySports when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The second interview of this week's podcast is with current Kansas State head football coach Chris Klieman. We went to Manhattan, Kansas as part of our show, Too Much Access. Coach Kleiman's been the head coach since 2018. He's won everywhere he's been, including North Dakota State, where he coached Carson Wentz. We talked about his winning culture, championships, being a leader, and a whole bunch more.
Coach, when you take over a program, because you've been here a few years, regardless of the program, but especially somewhere like Kansas State, there are many things that the alumni and that the local folks are proud of, hand signals, if it's a woo pig or if it's the cat. How quickly do you have to learn to do the hand signal exactly right? Like day one?
Day one.
Are you scared to do it though immediately because you don't want to like do it slightly wrong?
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to. But no, day one, they expect you to know it all. And, you know, from Emaw to the hand signal to the Wabash Cannonball, everything you got to know.
What's the Wabash Cannonball?
It's a one of our.
Is it a song?
Yeah, it's our song.
Well, I don't know the song. Yeah. No, that's the Macarena.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking
that's
the Macarena.
What I was thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. I would just be nervous because there are times when I meet people and I didn't get their name exactly right. And if I have to go on TV or something and say their name, I'm like, I don't want to have to. Because if I'm wrong, everybody's going to know I'm a little bit wrong. But there's pressure. I was looking at a lot of pictures of you holding the hand sign. Is that on a plane? Are they teaching you stuff on the flight over when you get the job?
Absolutely. That's why I had Kenny Lanou on the flight, you know, our media relations guy. He was showing me how to do everything. But no, I mean, it is such a whirlwind tour when you first get hired. And I was in the middle of another season with another team, and we were trying to win a national championship. So you'd ask my wife, she still doesn't remember that 60 days we had of kind of the courtship.
Whenever I get a treadmill or any sort of like exercise machine, I work on it for I don't know, a month or so, and then it just turns into basically a clothes hanger where I just end up throwing clothes. Now, I noticed right by your desk, there's a piece of cardio equipment.
Yeah.
How often do you actually use it, or is it more of just a discussion point now?
Did you not know what the cardio equipment is?
No, I don't.
It's an elliptical.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, how often do you get on it, though, actually?
Twice a week.
You still use it?
Yeah, I still use it. No, I don't hang any clothes on there. I truly use it twice a week. You can see we've got some big screens around here, so my videos up there. So then put the video on, watch some of the games, watch some cut-ups, watch a lot of the different plays that we're trying to watch, and I can got to get a little exercise.
Oh, so
it's hard
work
during the season.
Oh, that was like Richard Simmons or something. He's like, he puts his video up there,
yeah,
watches Sweating to the Oldies.
I would love it if it were that, but no, this is actually work. The hard thing is I have my phone with me, and then I'm trying to type in notes, and I'm sweaty, and but I get it done.
If I'm thinking of throughout the week, and I'm touring now doing stand up, but if I think of a joke concept, I write it on my phone immediately. Sometimes I go back to it, and sometimes I can remember what the idea was. Sometimes I can't. As a football coach, do you do the same with concepts or plays or schemes where it's like, I have not seen this yet, let me jot it down, or maybe we should do it, and then you go back to it and revisit it in your phone, and sometimes you don't even know what you wrote down?
For me, it's more leadership thoughts, motivating thoughts. I'll get up in the middle of the night because I never sleep very well during the season, and my wife will look, what are you doing? And she'll know that I'm typing something that I just thought of at 2 a.m. to say something we can do maybe after a big win. How do we get them responding back? Maybe after a loss, maybe after a bad practice, whatever it may be. I'm always – my mind never shuts off during the football season, but there are times I'll go back in and I'll say, gosh, when did I do that? And lucky it'll say like 3:35. I'm like, boy, I don't even remember getting up.
Who are some of your leadership role models, either that you've worked for with or that you just read about that you never knew?
You know, I've been fortunate because I've got a guy named Ben Newman that's one of the world-renowned speakers in the country, sports performance coach. And he's put me on like Ed Milette, and he's put me on John Gordon and some of those guys that I love reading motivational books. I love reading leadership books. But then, you know, I'm going to read a book on Kobe Bryant. You know, I'm just how those guys, what they did to tick, you know, Michael Jordan, all the great ones of how they were motivated and what kind of drove them.
I feel like for any success that either me or my friends, peers have had, look, we all have a screw loose, but it's the right screw and it's just the right amount of loose. And you only have that little amount to still be somewhat sane. I'm only somewhat sane because it's like, I don't sleep well.
This is true,
I can't stop thinking. I can't stop imagining. My wife and I always, you know, time management, something's always happening. Do you feel like you got a screw because you're very successful? Do you feel like you have kind of a screw loose, but it's the right screw?
Yeah, you have to. I don't know which screw that is that's loose. My wife would tell you for sure, but you absolutely have to do what we do, to do what you do. I mean, it's nonstop. You know, it's 7 days a week right now. You know, you get in the office by 5:45 and you're leaving at 9:30, 9:45, and your mind's still on when you go home. You visit with your wife a little bit, you go to bed, you wake up, and it's just repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. So you have to have a little bit of a screw loose, but it's crazy because I never have felt like, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, that I've ever had a job. I assume you probably think the same thing, that you don't really feel like you have a job.
I don't until I see the revenue that I bring in, and then I realize I need to be paid more. So, you know, that's kind of how I'm like, this is so fun. Let me see the revenue. Oh, okay, this is a job. I forgot. Yes, I agree. And my stepdad worked at the sawmill, right? And I got to see him go to work and hate his job every single day. And I had jobs that I hated every day in doing what I do in the morning or touring or this. But, and it's also like when I speak to people, I'm like, if you find something that you love to do, it's not just about having fun, but you'll actually want to be better at it.
Yep.
And when you want to be better at something, like you strive, you achieve, and it's a cycle. You love it, you get better at it, you have success, and it continues. So I've found that for me to be successful, but I agree, this isn't a real job.
Yeah, and for us in coaching, we utilize each other so much. Even when you play against somebody, you know them, you talk to them in the off season. Some guys you're really close to in season that you talk to, and you spitball ideas and you throw things around, and everybody knows everybody in our profession, probably the same as yours. You know, I've got a bunch of staff members that have been in the business for 30 plus years, and oh, hey, we play this team this week. Oh, yeah, I know the running back coach. I know the linebacker coach. I'll give them a call and see if we can get some tips or some hand signals or whatever. Or what was the environment like when we went to that stadium? And how loud was it? How loud do you have to have the noise at practice to try to replicate those things? It's just never ending. It's nonstop, but that's what makes it so much fun.
What is your wife's favorite month?
Oh, boy. I would say probably July, just because that's when we get a little bit of a break. her birthday's in August, and I haven't celebrated a birthday because we're in the middle of fall camp. our entire time together, but she knew what she was getting into. She married me when I was a graduate assistant, making about $800 a month. So she knew exactly what she was getting into. And I told her, like, your birthday's in August. That's a bad, bad month. And so now she just
she
says,
changed it. It's now now in December.
Officially. Yeah. She just says, no, I'm out of town now. So now she goes out of town every August and gets away for her birthday. And I sit out of practice and I'm like, well, she's in good hands. She's cool. Doing all right.
Coach, one of the games I hate is when you guys play TCU because there's just all purple on the field. And I'm like, oh gosh, who's going? Oh, yes, Kansas scored. No, that was TCU. Is it ever like, first question, when you go into the game, who decides like, all right, we're wearing the darks, we're wearing these helmets, we're wearing that? Because you got to coordinate, especially with a team like that's got purple.
Yeah, home team gets the selection. But last year, in the Big 12 championship game, which was at AT&T Stadium, it was a sea of purple. That's all people saw. And if it weren't for the fact that I knew where our bench was and the fans we had behind our bench, but you looked across their bench and you saw the fans, like, well, this place is packed with purple. It was definitely a sea of purple, but I would say it was probably 50-50 there. Maybe we had a little bit more, even though it was in Fort Worth.
All I remember is texting Eddie, because I'm colorblind to dark colors.
Yeah.
Like everything over like a 5 on the darkness scale looks the same. And I was like, dude, I don't know what's what.
Now to give him the update.
Yeah, it was like, what's the border of the numbers? Because I can't really tell the difference.
Yeah. There's some – we played a game a number of years ago, and the team had black jerseys and navy numbers. And we were trying, who's in the game? What number? We're like, we couldn't tell. Yeah. They've now made a rule against that. You can't have contrasting colors on the numbers to the jersey because you could not tell what numbers were in the game. And that's a nightmare for us as coaches to see how many running backs are in the game, how many wide receivers are in the game, and you can't even tell the numbers.
And that's strategy on their part, though, right?
I mean, sure it is. Yeah.
That's some crap I do.
Gamesmanship.
I feel like peel off numbers. We'd switch numbers during the game. I'd do all kind of crazy stuff. I was looking at, since you joined as head coach here at Kansas State, I was looking at a lot of the head coaching records just in those few years. There's just so much progress that's been here at Kansas State since the moment that you took over, like actual tangible progress. And I think it's one of the, I won't say underappreciated, but you guys won the freaking Big 12 last year. And I feel like people didn't really hold you guys up as high as, and I think TCU, them not having a good showing in the championship game just took some headlines because everybody was like, but I feel like you guys did not get the credit you deserved last year or didn't get held on the pedestal as high as you probably should have.
Probably accurate. I think there's a lot of disrespect for Kansas State. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be. But, you know, that's probably the chip on our shoulder, too, that you've got to earn that respect every day. And our guys would be the first ones to tell you that they probably like the underdog status. And they like that being the hunted perspective and so we talk about it, but in the same respect, come every Saturday you got to perform anyway. And we've had some really good things happen. We've had some tough losses here too, but last year probably validated a lot of the things that we wanted to get done when we came here in 2019. The pandemic year was a disaster for us, like it was everywhere else, and or a lot of people probably had better success than we did. But I remember in the pandemic year, we would do our COVID testing on Friday morning, and then the trainers would come up and say, okay, these 5 people have COVID. Well, those are 2 starting guards. Oh, those are 2 starting linebackers. Oh, and by the way, they're close contact guys or your starting defensive end. And you're like, all right, jump on the bus. Let's see who can play. Let's go. And that was miserable. So everything that we've done helps tarnish or magnify what that was so crappy in 2020. But for us to get that Big 12 championship last year kind of validated everything that we wanted to get done here when we came here in 2019.
It's just such a big deal. It's Power 5 conference. You win the championship. Yet we still have to hear about, and you don't need to comment on this, about stupid Texas.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who they are.
So it's like, who cares about Texas football? Right. I mean, you don't comment on the coach. That's just us.
No, we're just talking about it. We still play him this year.
Yeah, you said nothing about that. That's just us doing our comments here. What do your players know you for?
Oh, boy. Well, you get a chance to be with Cooper Beebe today, so he'll probably tell you a little bit. Hopefully that I'm a player's coach. I value their opinion. We have a leadership council that I want their opinion on things. I want their voice. I think that's a big thing right now in college athletics is – you know, you don't want to be a dictator. You need to have those guys have a voice and take ownership in the program. And that's why I think we were successful last year is, you know, we gave them a lot of things and then gave them the keys and said, you guys got to hold each other accountable to the standard that you guys expect. You know what we expect. But when your peer can hold you accountable to that same standard of what you do on the field, what you do off the field, how you prepare yourself. And our guys have that right now. And our locker room has really good culture right now. And I'm a firm believer that when you give the guys that ownership and let them run the team and let them run that locker room, it gets better and better.
Coach, I'm a huge Cowboys fan, so let's talk about Deuce Vaughn
Isn't that fun one to talk about now?
I mean, Deuce was awesome for you guys, and then when he gets drafted by the Cowboys, super special, of course, the whole dad connection. But he's sitting at the third running back spot. He's super fast.
Yep.
He's not that big of a guy, but what can you say about him as a person? And two, would you ever call Jerry and be like, hey, you've got to move him up. This dude is what you need.
Well, we would have played him all the time, you know, and it's funny because Deuce and his mother sat right where you're sitting when he was a senior in high school, big infectious smile. And I said, you're going to be a dynamite running back for Kansas State and you're not too small to play. And we're going to build our program around you and we're going to build our offense around you. And he lit up and he said, I'm coming to K-State. And that's what we did and that's what he did for us. So there's a role for him. And I don't know if it's been defined yet. I don't ever get a chance to watch NFL football. Sundays are our busiest days. I'll get a highlight. Somebody will send me, like Julius Brents who played for us last year, had a strip and created a turnover last week. I don't get a chance to watch enough, but if you need me to call Jerry, you guys can get his number a lot easier than I could. We'll give him a call and see if we can get him on the field a little bit more.
You define yourself as a player's coach. Have you always been a player's coach, or is that something that you've transitioned to more of as you've been, had more head coaching experience?
Yeah, no, it's what I've always tried to be. I look at it as I was really fortunate to get a head job at North Dakota State. We won some games there. I was the D-back coach. I was the defensive coordinator, and I always had a really good relationship with the guys, and I always wanted to be a part of the guys' lives, not just on the field, but more importantly off the field, see how they're doing, talk about their families. And then when I got elevated to head coach, I just said, I'm not going to change. And I remember one of our players that we had at North Dakota State, I wore a suit for the first game in the morning, and it was my first game, and I'll never forget it. And the kid came up to me and said, you don't have to do this. Go put your sweats on or go put your polo on, and we're going to be just great. And I looked at him, and I was like, oh, thank God he said that, because I felt so uncomfortable. I went back to just wearing my polo and my khakis or sweats on that day or the next game. I want to be a part of those guys' lives. And the only way you can be is by being around them as much as you can, by finding out as much as you can, by joking with them as much as you can, by just being one of the guys. And that's what assistants typically are. And us head coaches oftentimes have to become CEOs and all that other stuff, which you still have to do. But you still have to break away and get in the locker room and the training room and weight room and just, you know, dig your heels in and get to know them.
Let's talk schematically, especially defensively. In the NFL, you're seeing Miami, you know, they don't have a lot of big guys. They got a lot of fast guys. We're talking about Deuce Vaughn. They got a lot of guys that get in open space and then run. If it's, you know, Mostert, if it's Tyreek, if it's Waddle. But then now the defenses are having to change too. And we saw the Patriots have to play like four or five safeties at one time to try to keep speed up. What changes are you seeing in the Big 12 or just in college football in general? Are you seeing just speed winning more at times, like in the linebacker and defensive backs more than it ever has?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you don't run the old I formation, quarterback under center very often at all. The other thing that is taking over college football that's going to take over the NFL pretty soon is no huddle, not giving a team a chance to substitute, so that we're going to put our fastest guys out there, and you better be able to match those guys. And sometimes in the past, people would just match those guys on third down. Now you got to match them on first down. You got to match them on second down. And it's a skill level of trying to find safeties that are fast enough or linebackers that are fast enough. But you also have these tight ends that are 6'7", 270 pounds that can run 4 or 5 that you can't put a corner on because they're just going to wall them out and box them out. And, I look at the Travis Kelce from the Chiefs. Who can cover him? Well, you can put a linebacker on him, but he's faster. You can put a safety or a corner, but he's bigger. And that's what everybody's trying to recruit is the hybrid defensive players that are fast enough to be able to stuff the run, but athletic enough to be able to cover great tight ends and wideouts.
Does it end up pendulum-ing, though, where you get so many hybrids on defense that are having to stop all of these offensive playmakers that all of a sudden you're rotating coverage, you got fast guys. Well, now all of a sudden everybody's trying to stop the wide open pass game. So you got somebody who's like, well, let's just run it right back down their throats. Yeah. And then has it just a nonstop pendulum all
it
the
is.
Time?
It is a nonstop pendulum. The one thing that will never change is you better have a quarterback. That's the thing that'll never change, whether or not that quarterback is a dual threat guy like a Lamar Jackson that can beat you with his arm, beat you with his legs, or a guy that, like Tom Brady was, that's just going to, precision just carve you up. You still have to have that quarterback. And that's the first thing that we're looking for in recruiting is every class. Can we find that quarterback as well as when we're scouting teams and stuff is how's the quarter? Because you can, like you said, you can put everybody in charge of pass, but if that kid's just going to run the ball on you as a quarterback, you're in trouble. And so, it's a pendulum it's offensively as well as defensively, it's ever changing.
How hard would it be to install a wishbone in 1 week and just surprise the crap out of a team?
It would be really, really hard.
Really?
I believe it would be. But
like student body left?
Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be easier, Buzz? Yes.
Well, I think this whole thing would be pretty easy.
Know what, though? But that's not what anybody wants to see. If the Cowboys did that, if you said, let's Cowboys do it, then the NFL is going to be mad because then they're not throwing the ball enough.
And one that's game, though. Like a big game. We're running wishbone. We're running a triple option.
Well, that's the thing that
– leather helmets. You go all in, Coach.
Well, when we were at North Dakota State, we had to play Georgia Southern, and they were all triple option. And then my first year here, we're so excited. We get to go to a bowl game, and we get announced, and we get to play Navy. And I'm like, this is going to be a lot of fun. Of having to defend triple option and your defensive line getting cut on every play and like, hey, we're playing Navy. And the guy's like, hey, great. Yeah. So you got to be unbelievably disciplined and know you're going to get cut all the time. So it's really hard to defend and probably equally as hard. The one rule that changed in college athletics, college football a couple years ago is the cut block. You can't cut people down on the perimeter anymore like you used to. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and that's where some of those wishbone teams are probably having a harder time.
Even the wide receivers used to cut people hard, which they can't do anymore. But they would even wide out run, it's just a tendon tear.
Exactly.
You hit it wrong barely one time.
Yeah.
Those cut blocks, that's kind of how Aaron Rodgers ended up tearing his Achilles too.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's so hard right now with, college athletics or college football has changed. We've gotten better on the targeting, right? I mean, we've used to get targeting and then the kid would have the walk of shame because they'd throw him out and you'd have to walk him off, send a support staff member. Now they at least can stay on the sideline. But, we've taken some of that, but now we're having more lower body injuries because I can't go high on you across the middle. So I go low on you and you see some ugly injuries because of it. And, there's that happy medium of hit him between the knees and the chest and there's not going to be any penalty. But, everybody talks about that, but that's a split second decision, whether or not that guy's coming at me. And if it's a kid that's 6'5", 250 pounds, do you really want to go high on that guy?
No, the answer is no, in case you're wondering.
I wouldn't think you would.
Our final five questions. I'm going to start with this one. The rule of a wide open, fast offense, you know how to stop them? Act hurt. Just grab your hamstring, get a cramp. Something's got to change as far as if you get hurt, you grab something, you cramp. like that's a the rest of the series you're out. What would you suggest to the rules committee?
It's gotten better already. It's gotten a ton better, but probably just the rest of the series. You know, if a guy comes out, if it's, you know, it's usually when it's 104 degrees and you're out there for that 10th play that you could potentially have it happen, but then the price should just be the series. You don't know if it's one more play or eight more plays.
But I mean, you know when they're lying. You know when they're lying.
Oh, absolutely. Like they're everybody does. It's bad when there's two guys down on the same play.
And then they forget who told who.
Wait,
I said I would do it.
Man.
No, God.
Coach, I remember watching Friday Night Lights or something, and there was the part where somebody gets hurt, and the coach is like, get in the room, shoot it up, you're coming back out. It's like almost like no choice. When someone does get hurt, do you say like, are you hurt? Or like, what do you tell me?
Oh, are you hurt or
you're
injured?
Yeah. I mean, this is when we work out. That's what he tells me. Are you that kind of like, are you hurt or you're injured? Or are you just like, you decide on your own seat?
No, it's a different world now. I just go to the trainers and they say, he's out. We're checking on him. We're getting something. We're retaping him. We're going in for an x-ray. We'll come back, let you know. And now I just let them tell me, is he going to be back or not? Yep, he'll be back, coach. You got three more plays and get him ready. Or nope, sorry, coach, he's out. Oh, come on, he's not. No, you just listen to what the trainers tell you and move on. So that's become which it should be. We should be out of the conversation on that, whether or not a kid's healthy or not to play.
Do you still take their helmet so they can't go in the game?
Yeah.
You ever had anyone hurt, grab their helmet and go back in the game and sneak on?
No, I mean, they'd have to grab somebody else's helmet.
I'd grab a whole new uniform. I'd go in, put a whole new uniform on, come out with a different number.
Get a different number for different sure. Number you're for into sure. changing your number.
Yeah, man, I'd come out with number 77.
He's big on that.
They'd be like, who is this Robbie Jones guy? Man, he's good.
I don't know, but if I saw you in 77 playing O-line, I'd feel pretty good about our chances.
And you should, coach, and you should. What's the ceiling here?
Oh, boy. Compete for championships. We feel like if we continue to recruit the way we have been and continue to get the right guys and continue to have guys buy in and develop, compete for championships. Nobody knows. I mean, the landscape of college football keeps changing with conference realignment and people joining. And now, beginning next year, there's going to be 12 teams in the playoff. And so if you get into that tournament, because I used to be a part of tournament play in the FCS, if you get in that tournament, anything can happen.
That's so exciting to me. And the argument often was, well, you want to keep the value of each game in college football, but we also love the NFL and there's value to each game, but also the playoffs are freaking awesome.
Yeah. And I there has to be more value to every game, but if a team slips up twice, they ought to still have an opportunity. And that's unfortunate right now, because if a blue blood loses a game, they're wanting to jump off that team and that team's done. It takes a while for teams to peak, especially right now because of the transfer portal, teams, players changing teams, people having new rosters every year, essentially, or new players, that sometimes it takes you half a season. And the best teams at the end of the season are what you're trying to get.
Coach, very stressful job you have. How do you get your mind off football? You have a boat? You got jet skis?
I go play golf. You have a boat. Which we should have went and played golf.
We should have.
We should have.
Yeah, we definitely.
Now you tell us that, because all you had to do is mention maybe and we'd have come last night.
We would have brought our
noise.
Yeah. And since it's an open week, we probably could have figured it out.
Oh, my gosh.
But if it weren't an open week. So, no, that's what I do. I try to go play golf, get my mind off it, and got a couple of great golf courses around here that we go out and play. If not, sit in the back, cook out, jump in the pool. Just try to get away from it as best you can.
Do you ever throw your clubs on the team plane and try to get there a day early and squeeze around in?
No, I don't think that would probably work. They probably wonder, oh, sure, you're a player's coach. Now you're just going out. Can we go too? There'd be a lot of players that want to go with me.
Last question. You talk about the importance of having a quarterback in every class, at least attempting to do that. So let's say that you sign a 4 or 5-star quarterback last year, and now you're trying to recruit me. I'm another 4 or 5-star guy. Yep. But I mean, there's this guy one year ahead of me. How in the world do you get me to come here when you got a guy in front of me?
A lot of those 4 and 5 stars think they're going to beat everybody out. So that's one positive thing is no, I can beat that guy out. The second thing is they know they see how the evolution of football is. Somebody may leave. Also, you know, people get hurt. You know, every year that I've been here, other than our first our quarterback has missed a little bit of time. So there's always that opportunity. And, you know, if you're still selling the fact that we had at North Dakota State, we had Brock Jensen, who was the all-time winningest quarterback in FCS at one time. And we brought Carson Wentz in. Carson sat for a couple of years, and then Carson won a couple championships. And then we had Easton Stick come in. And Easton Stick ended up being the all-time winningest quarterback in FCS football. And behind him was Trey Lance, who we brought in. So we brought in the next guy every time that they knew that their opportunity would come. And when they had that opportunity with the type of offense we run, and same thing here with the type of offense that we run, when I get my shot and I make the most of it, it's going to give me that opportunity to play at the next level.
Coach, thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming to Manhattan, Kansas.
This feels like where I come from. I think that's why I root for Kansas State. And like my parallel universe of Kansas State, because I'm from Arkansas. It's what we had. It's all we had was University of Arkansas. And like, we hated Texas. I mentioned that earlier. I still hate Texas.
Yeah, yeah. We heard that.
And it's like, now I hate Kansas too. I'll be honest with you, Coach. And so it makes me love you even more.
Okay, well, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, coming. All right.
Yeah, here we go. And love to have you come back for a game, man. We'll get you a spot.
All right, thanks, Coach. NFL fans, it's time to unwrap nonstop football action. This holiday season, throw down on big matchups with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on the NFL and score $150 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. Put that in, please. That would help us. New customers can bet $5 on NFL action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With the code BobbySports, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help's available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard to snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The final interview of the podcast is with ESPN's gambling expert, Stanford Steve. Love this guy. Love watching him. Follow him on Twitter at StanfordSteve82. Hey, big fan. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, what's going on, bro? How are you?
I'm really good. I was super pumped when I saw that I was going to get to talk to you, mostly because it's been crazy to me over the last few years how it was kind of seen like betting and talking about betting or mentioning a line anywhere that
more than 10 people could hear or see you. It was like, ooh, don't do that. And now it is just this massive, everybody wants to talk about it. And here you are, and you've kind of, you know, cornered or had the market cornered for a little bit. Isn't it crazy to see how much this has grown in 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah. The money thrown around is kind of crazy. But it's, I yeah, from what you've done, yes, for sure. I started in radio and it was kind of always looked down upon and stuff like that. But when I look at what, like, it was just always something that I looked at when I was doing my analysis of, say, college football, you know, like that. It's just that's what it was.
I was at a charity event and I was speaking, and it was a deal where we were, you know, trying to help this community raise money for a bunch of kids that needed a gym and food. And I was sitting with the pastor and he was like, hey, what's the line on? I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. And it was one of those full circle moments where it's like, okay, betting is now not just something that I enjoy and little nuances that I like to see. But it's like full pop culture where it's not just like a sin if you're betting, I guess, because it's legal. And so that's what makes being able to have this conversation so cool, that a pastor asked me a line for a game.
And that's where I'm different. I in the Northeast, I grew up going to Saratoga bus trips with the pastor of the church. So,
well, in the South, in the rural South,
exactly.
That was rural
you guys
South.
Are all righteous down there.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, I'm curious about kind of the genesis to Bad Beats, where that show actually.
Are we starting right now?
Like, we're on.
Oh, we're on.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah. I don't have a good voice, Steve. I don't have like a radio.
No, yeah. I didn't know if there was like a 3, 2, 1. All right, go. Or all right, we're in it.
Oh yeah, we're in it. That's one of my weaknesses, Steve, is that I don't really sound like somebody good on the radio. I just talk. But same with you. Like, you have a very natural presentation. And with Bad, yeah, we're on. We're on, right, everybody?
We're on.
Okay, just
making
sure.
Mike's working, I guess.
Yeah. With Bad Beats, where did that come from? Did somebody have a really bad beat and they're like, this has got to be a reality show, and then it turns into this? What happened there?
No, that's a question that gets asked a lot, and Scott deserves all the credit. We started old radio show, SVP and Rosillo, you know, middays back in 2010, I believe. And, you know, Scott and I got together because I was Ryan's producer for College Game Day. And on radio side, so we would travel everywhere with Game Day. We'd come back Monday. Ryan would do the show with Scott for their Monday through Friday, and we would go in pre-show meeting, BS about the whole game, you know, games, what happened this week. And then when I took over, Scott wanted to try Bad Beats on the radio, and we did it. We got emails. I mean, everybody was in on it. It just didn't resonate because you need the video, you need the footage, right? And that's what. I give Scott all the credit, because when we came over to TV, he's like, hey, you're coming with me. I'm doing my own SportsCenter show. We're doing Bad Beats. You're going to be at the desk. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've never done a second of TV in my life before. And sure enough, we go out. I'll never forget the first night. It's Labor Day. We follow Ohio State, Virginia Tech. It's that, you know, Labor Day college football game, Scott's first show. And our pre-show meeting is like, all right, what are we going to do for this? And we dig up, oh, man, it was Colorado State. I think it's Savannah State. We didn't even have the feed of the game. We web scraped it from Colorado State's website. And that was our first Bad Beat. But it's a team that was down by 45, getting 41, and they haven't scored all day. And they get this drive where they fumble, recover, penalty in their favor, and miraculously score against Colorado State's fifth stringers. And boom, there we go. And it takes off. And it resonates because everybody's had one, right? Everybody's had multiple. I had Wisconsin the other night. I was out in Vegas for the Elite Eight. I had an unbelievable weekend. I'm leaving Tuesday night. I'm like, all right, I'm going to test my waters and take it over in a Wisconsin game. And sure enough, they go scoreless the last 9.5 minutes. I think I went 13 and no, that would have made me 13-2. I went 12-3 on the weekend. But everybody has it because they stick with you. When you're gambling as much as, you know, people do, there's ones that just stick out. And when you're in the moment, you know what can beat me here. What do I have to get to get the win here, whether it's a total or a right side? So I just think everybody's experienced it in that gambling side. But the other crazy thing is we get so many notes now at social media. It's like, I don't gamble, but I still can't get over that happened in Bad Beats. Why do you do it? And I'm like, well, that's another conversation because you got to be sick in the head to lay a couple shekels on a game. But sometimes that's what makes it fun.
I'm surprised when you talk about that Vegas trip, because I was in Vegas too for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, because I went to watch Arkansas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to watch Arkansas play. It was not pretty. But I lost every game. I don't know what you must know a lot more than I do, because I seem to lose every freaking game that whole weekend because they all were coming out of nowhere, I felt. So what's the magic secret here then?
What I try and do is when the bracket comes out, I'll fill one out, okay, right away. And then I'll just have that as a basis. But what I also try and do is go against what I think the public's going to be. So, perfect example. I go up to the Big East tournament the week before, you know, that conference tournament week. And I watch Marquette. And I'm like, wow, you know, pretty impressive. Everybody's on them. They ended up winning the tournament, beat UConn, beat, you know, roll Xavier in the title game. And I'm like, that's a team I'm going to go against. Because I think everybody sees the Big East tournament, bright lights, big city, great conference. But I just Thursday afternoon, I'm there. St. John's has the ball in the air twice at the end of regulation, at the end of overtime. If that ball goes in, Marquette loses. And this whole narrative of Marquette's the hottest team in the country is gone. So I saw that firsthand. I'm like, they are gettable. All this stuff is a little bit of nonsense to me because it is the NCAA tournament. Look at the Final Four we have. Anybody can beat anybody. So what I've done is try and go against that. Duke was another one. I'm like, I watched the ACC. Oh, yeah, I'm a Duke fan. They're not that good. I didn't like the matchup against Oral Roberts. I definitely didn't like it if they got to Tennessee. So that happens there. Now, UConn was the one that I was in on, but I had to see it first because that's a coaching staff. I grew up there. I know what it's all about. I know the pressure that was on that coaching staff. They hadn't won an NCAA tournament game coming in as a staff at UConn going into the NCAA tournament. And then look on the other side. It's Rick Pitino, the best tournament coach there is. And that was the game for me. Once they got by that, I rode UConn the whole way through because they have everything. They don't have a great point guard, but they have everything you want. They come in at waves. They're superb physically. They got bigs. They could defend. Their numbers, you know, if people want to look at the analytics, efficiency-wise, defensively, offensively, they're great there. So that's what I just try and go ahead. A lot of times it doesn't work out, and my thing is up in flames, and it is a bad march, and I'll scale back a little bit. But when I started pressing, you know, I wasn't that big on in the Sweet 16. I thought Alabama was gettable by San Diego State because I looked at that road. That was the last team I thought that could maybe match up with them physically. Houston, saw them in person a couple weeks ago at East Carolina. Love them, but I thought a couple years ago they had a better team. Maybe even last year's team, if they had Sasser, was better. They didn't blow me away. And Miami was as dangerous as there was. And Miami and UConn were the team that I rode into the ground, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So we had a good weekend.
A lot of my friends will be like, hey, man, you win all the time. And I'm like, bro, you don't even know. I don't reach out and be like, can you believe I lost this bet? And so it's almost like a mystery. Ooh, he's the greatest bet giver ever. Do you feel like people feel like you win all the time, even though you have a bad beat show? Are they like, Stanford Steve, you have all the answers?
No, I do a daily wager show on ESPN, and there's plenty of time. When you're, this is the other thing I say. If you're telling me you bet three, like NFL Sundays, right? I'm not a big NFL guy. I think it's the hardest thing in the world to handicap. But if you're telling me you bet five NFL games every Sunday for the year and you tell me you win, I'll call you a liar. There's no way. I don't see how you could do that. The volume, pick your spots, maybe. But when you're telling me you're betting four or five games a day for an extended amount of time, you're building your own casino, I would think, because that's the size of those buildings that's where that money is. And that's why those buildings are so winning, because they're taking their shot that you are not going to do that, and they get everybody else involved. So, no, I do not win all the time. It's been a good run, for sure.
Do you feel pressure to be right, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's – There's Scott and I do all the time. He does winners on Thursday night. I do a podcast during college football season and on ESPN.com where I give college football picks. And, you know, they moved the timeline up. I think it was like Wednesdays we got to have it in by. And so there'll be sometimes like I'll come off of a game or I won't change it just because I put my name on it. But those names, those picks that have my name on it, I care about those than any dollar amount I have on a game. Those are what people are coming at you about. Now, you can't read all your social media or else you lose your mind because it's a cesspool and a grounds for negativity. But there is some good stuff out there, and I appreciate the positive people because we can find negative people anywhere. But, yeah, there is pressure for sure. I mean, they're putting you on because we've done well. I've had a really, really good run. But, yeah, the pressure, the games – that I'm watching or when I'm in the moment that I have my name on it for a pick, you know, where they put the screen, Saber City says this is his pick. Those are the ones that still get the blood flowing and the itches going for sure.
What's the longest parlay you've hit? How many games?
Oh, I'm not really a parlay guy. That's the one that you talked about with all this nuance in the last 2 years. Like, That candy they throw out you, what they call the SGP, the single game parlays.
Yeah, I eat it out too.
You can have them. It's hard to scroll away. Like now, I forgot which one I logged in. I got back from Vegas. I'm like, all right, let me see what we got for Final Four. Or I think it was even Major League Baseball dabbling in that. And I'm like, whoa, I don't need a five game single game parlay of opening day Major League Baseball to get the day going. But maybe like a 3 or 4 teamer. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, I guess if you don't do them all the time. Like I'm an idiot, and about once every month or so, you know, you do like a ninth. Well, I also eat up like the chum they're throwing out where they'll retweet somebody that hit like for $1 a 14 gamer and made $1,000. And I'm like, why not? What if I put 5 or 10 on it? But Eddie, you do a lot of parlays.
I do. And I hear you talking about the NFL, and I'm the dude that picks every single NFL game from Thursday all the way to Monday and put $1 on it. And I've never gotten close.
Now, here's what I'll say about parlays. Okay. I grew up in an era or an area of you bet on credit. Right. Like you called your guy and you said, all right, I want this. So it was kind of dangerous. And I've seen, you know, there's horror stories of people looking for people that owe money. I will say with these apps and now with the youngsters, I see college kids firing up on these parlays all the time. Their money's up, you know, like their money is paid. And the only way they're getting it back is if they win. So I will say, as far as like the gambling and the problems and what it causes, that half of that is gone because the money they put up is already on the account, and therefore they can't lose more than, say, calling your guy and losing and say, all right, I'm going to double up on the next game. If that doesn't come in, I'm going to double up on the next game. And then good luck finding me if I don't hit any. So that's the one thing I will say is that the money is it's like going to the casino. Like you give your money, you get your chips. All right, the only way to get them back is your chips. You know, you put your chips back in to get your money. So that's the one thing I will say with these apps that I think is refraining a lot of the problems for gambling that we've heard about in the past.
Yeah, I had spent time talking with political folks, governors. Mm-hmm. You know, they had me lobbying a bit where I would go, hey, look, it's not exactly the same as it used to be.
No.
And also, here's why it's beneficial. You got to have a smartphone. You got to have an account. Or you also got – so there are all these layers that it don't make it perfect. But it's not the same as what it used to be. And I would literally sit with governors and say, don't just say no because people have always said no. And we're starting to see a lot of states now legalize it. But how – it was on the ballot in California and did not get passed, which blew me away.
I can't believe it. I'm the same way. I've had people approach me. I've had, you know, political people, and they've gotten to the point where they just bring, say, who was one of the first? New Jersey. Like New Jersey came in with the first of the month. They were posting like multiple millions that they were making off gambling. I'm like, what's wrong with free money? Who doesn't want free money? And these states talk about the debt that they all have. I'm like, here's a maybe a little gradual help towards that. It's free money. You get the apps going. It's a sign of a paper, and you got money coming in like crazy. And now you see all these states posting the earnings and the makings that they're winning off of gambling.
You're going to sell cigarettes, but you're not going to let us put 10 bucks on a game that we already have the money in the account. It's ridiculous. Final question. So as a high school ball player, you're one of the best. I mean, recruited so highly, but it was late 90s. You and I are around the same age. Whenever you hear what these kids are going through now as they're being recruited, like, what was it like in 96 versus what you hear about what it's like now?
Well, the social media factor is totally different. You know, like, I don't even know how they keep up with the rules, whether I could contact you on social media. You know, back in 96, it was one call a week. Once I got to, I think it was August 1st, they could call you. And then that was really hard because everybody is selling you the best thing. Everybody is treating you like their best friend. Everybody's saying you're the best player in the country. And you, in these months, you know, in the month of weekly phone calls, you build up these relationships with the coaches. And then you got to tell them no. And it's really hard as a 17-year-old kid being in a thing for a first time where you're getting treated like a god and you got to tell somebody no. That was really hard. And now with the social media, I feel like, you know, they could type in something's a lot easier than a face-to-face, right? Or even a phone conversation. So I do think that is the problem I have is, you know, these guys going on their visits now, they take a picture in every single uniform they go to. And I'm like, oh, wait, this guy committed there? Oh, no, he just took a visit and wanted to see how he looked in the uniform. So they bring on a lot of stuff to themselves, but that's the day and age we're in, right? Everybody's selling their brand. The NIL is real. So it's different. I'm not a big self-promoting guy. I kind of like to just, you know, lay low and do my own work and let the results play out. But these guys get out in front of it. So I think the everyday essence of it is what's different to me. And that's what these kids are brought up in now. And now I say, you know, I've always said when I got out of college, I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I could play football forever. And they, you know, that's a harsh reality. So whatever I try and talk to, whether I go back to Stanford and talk or go to talk to college, I'm like, you got to have a plan, man. Like, what's your major? You know, what are your credit situation? Have you done any internships? And the other thing is, like, sports media. I always say get on camera, get on tape, you know, be on air as much as possible, because that's the first thing they want. And if you're one of these guys like, hey, I got a degree. All right, well, what'd you do? What kind of experience do you have? And they say, oh, I didn't have any. Like, that you're all the way down the ladder with that response. So I just, you know, get an experience. But these kids, I mean, everything is at your fingertips. And it's fascinating to play out. But I always say just try and have a plan.
I'm a big fan. SportsCenter commentator, segment producer on the Midnight SportsCenter with SVP on Bad Beats. World in the World is an SVP. I mean, it's all over. At StanfordSteve82. Appreciate the time. One quick follow-up. Who was the hardest no? Who'd you have to say no to that was the hardest no?
Well, it came down to Stanford, North Carolina. Mac Brown was the guy at North Carolina. So as good of a politician Mac is and the selling he can do and just being the overall – the aura – of Mac Brown, telling him no was pretty hard. But I will say, I did catch him in a lie because a year later he went to Texas, so he wouldn't have been my head coach.
Got him.
Okay, well, I think we're ready to start the interview now. Are you guys?
Yeah,
that was
we're
a good
ready.
Talk. That was
we're
a good catch up here. 3, 2. All right, hey, Steve, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you. Big fan.
Hey, I appreciate you guys thinking of me, having me on. Continued success with all the guys you do. It's unbelievable to see what you guys have built. So that's a credit to you guys, man.
Thank
Keep
you,
doing
Steve.
Your thing.
Have a good day.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, thanks for listening. Man, we got some great ones coming up next as well. 25 Whistles, thank you guys so much. Happy holidays from all of us here at the Bobby Bone Show. See you next time.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.